Welcome to Low Standards and Pours. This is episode 52. How do we just let it be is our subject tonight. I'm going to connect with El Carpe, our host tonight. Hello, El Carpe, you there?
Hey, brother. How you doing, man?
What's going on?
You hear me good?
A little impromptu chat tonight.
Yeah.
Big changes in our lives, right?
A little bit. So before we get into anything, I just wanted to say, the music sounded like it was going too fast or something. Is there something wrong with the computer? Yeah. It was speeding through.
Not that I know of, but gosh, who knows? It could be.
I mean, it's just funny. You know. It's one of those things. What are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, exactly. How are you doing?
Well, you know, like I always say, blessed are the flexible, for they do not get bent out of shape. Life is going to change and stuff is going to happen. So, So there's that. Yeah, no, I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. And we'll get into all the here's and hows and whys and all that stuff. Because Eric and I haven't really had a chance to really chat with each other during the week. We had a little issue at our house. Well, not at my house, at my brother's house, because that's where Ma lives.
Yeah, with my family.
Yeah, and so Ma decided she's going to make her trip to heaven, or whatever she wants to call heaven, Wednesday morning. So, was it Wednesday morning? No.
Yeah, so what happened? You told me your mom was going to hospice. Your mom was going to hospice, and then I heard right away that, or right after that, she had passed.
Well, Monday, she went into the hospice, and it was home hospice, so they brought the comfy bed for her, and we had somebody sitting with her around the clock, nursing and stuff or whatever, so that we, you know, could at least feel cool that she's going to be comfortable. Because
sure,
I don't know everything, and I barely know anything when it comes to medical stuff. So, you know, it's going to have to be, and since it's my brother's house, you know, it's nice because they're right there. And they've been there, and it's been wonderful. But
right,
no, that was. And then Wednesday night, I went and visited with Ma for a couple, 2-3 hours or something like that. And she wasn't talking, but she was there, and I could see her eyeballs open. And we were talking, holding hands, and while I was talking, she was listening. And
right,
I found some.
It sounds like this podcast.
Yeah,
just kidding.
A lot like this podcast, pretty much every time. Me talking, you listening. But I found some videos on my phone of my kids playing their instruments. And so I played the music for her for a while, and she seemed to really enjoy that. She calmed down a bit. You know, and it's just one of those things. I get the call Thursday morning, and my brother's like, yep, she left. It's all right. And, you know, I say that, you know, all right. Well, it's not like I was excited about her or anything. We knew this was coming. This was 6 months in the works.
She's right.
Battling with the, what you call it?
Dementia.
Thank you. Battling with the dementia for almost full 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, last Saturday when I was with her, she seemed a lot less responsive. And, you know, I could just tell something was going wrong.
Right, right.
But, so that was what was going on with me. And then I thought, you know, I can't be the only one going through this type of thing. In fact, I know I'm not, because one of my best friends lost his dad not too long ago to the COVID.
Yeah.
It made me think, you know, I'm like, all right, well, yeah. Aside from all the millions of things where, you know, it's not suggested or really make any sense to have a large funeral and a big gathering afterwards and all that stuff, because that's just not the way to do it. But I'm in my head, I'm thinking, what's going on with everybody? You know, there's gotta be so many other people that are going through this all of a sudden they're there, they're not there.
Right.
You know, people are going through this loss every day, but now it seems accentuated by COVID.
Right.
And, you know, I don't want the show to always be about me, although, you know, I'm more.
It kind of leans that way sometimes.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm the more interesting one, too, but that's a whole different story.
I know. I feel like Ed McMahon and Johnny Carson.
Yeah, well, I'm also the more modest one of us.
Of course.
You know, because my awesomeness, I don't let my awesomeness overpower you.
And well, you know what? I got to say one thing about awesomeness is the thing that I wrote in the little subject, you know, about Bill and Eric just talk impromptu chat about changes in our lives. I thought that was pretty much awesomeness.
Okay.
Because people might go, changes, okay, David Bowie, in our lives, but how we deal with, is there more birth, school?
I need you to start from the beginning without interrupting yourself. Read it from head to toe without interrupting yourself. And
read it like it is?
Read it like it is, and let you know all the one listeners who are not us,
right? You're listening afterwards.
Yeah, soak it in and go. Oh, that's a song. Oh, that's, yeah. That's let them figure it out.
These are all good songs.
And then you go back in and fill in the blanks. But give it a second.
All right.
Let it.
All right.
It
I will
sink in.
I got you.
This is the part where I'm quiet for a minute.
I see what you're laying down. So after Bill informed me that his mom has passed and has gone to heaven to be with her husband, we thought it would be a good idea to do a little impromptu podcast this evening since we didn't get a chance to do it on Wednesday. So with Bill having to take care of family stuff, I put together a little about our podcast tonight, and this is how it reads. It says, Bill and Eric just talk, impromptu chat about changes in our lives and how we deal with them. Is there more to birth, school, work, death? This is the day that most of us dread. Unfortunately, we ask ourselves, how soon is now? So as we sit and realize no one compares to you, we can never prepare for the last goodbye. Dedicated to Bill's mom.
When I read that, I'm like, oh, wow.
Pour me another brother.
That was a total pour me another brother moment, because way to take, you know, me with my crazy off the wall, always pulling something out of the whatever's happening into our little topics. And you always seem to find a way to throw it back into music, which is perfect. And I'm never sad about that. I love the fact that you do that. But this one was impeccable. Quite well
much
done.
Much appreciated.
Sir. Quite
much appreciated. So
now go back and tell us the songs.
So impromptu chat about changes is David Bowie, changes in our lives and how we deal with them. Mm-hmm. Is there more to is there more to birth, school, work, death is the Godfathers.
Yeah, great.
This is the day is the that most of us dread. Unfortunately, we ask ourselves, how soon is now? That's the Smiths. So as we sit and realize no one compares to you, which is Sinead O'Connor, we can never prepare for the last goodbye, which is Jeff Buckley.
Right.
I'm getting choked up.
Yeah, well, you did such a good job with that. When I first read it, I'm like, oh, this is. I just breezed through it. I immediately got what you were throwing, and I'm like, this is perfect. I don't have to think of another word. This is great. And then I went back and I read it again. I go, nope, there's nothing. This is perfect. I thought I could add something to it.
Yeah,
I really did. I wouldn't
change anything anyways. Cause I know you wouldn't.
Well, but I mean, that was it's just stellar. I love stuff like that. I have actually, I got an old mixtape I did that with.
Yeah.
You know, just every song, and I put the songs in order so that they would show up that way.
That was your old, did you do the same thing with your answer machine back in the day, back in the case?
Yeah, like I said, I found that, and I think I have that recorded somewhere.
Yeah, I'd love to hear that. What's up, Ruthie? Glad you're a part of our show.
I think I might actually have it on. I know I recorded it and I put it on a thumb drive and I'm sitting in front of the computer right now. If you want, I'm going to see if I can find it.
No, let's talk about what I want to talk about tonight. It's irrelevant. You can talk.
We'll find it another day. We can have fun anytime.
Yeah.
We know how to do that.
Exactly.
All right, so sit back down.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on, out of curiosity, and Bill and I have had this conversation before, and we're not going to talk about religion, nothing like that. It's kind of irrelevant, but right. do you think your mom's in a better spot? You think she's with your dad and hanging out and enjoying the afterlife? How do you feel about all that stuff? I mean, come on. I'm not gonna bring up details, so you tell me.
Yeah.
I'm gonna poke at you a little bit to loosen things up a little bit, but I want you to dig deep a little bit.
I have dug deep. I've thought about this for a long time. I've had 6 months to prepare for this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I prepare to have this conversation with my cousins, my wife and my kids and stuff, and just this is what's going on. So my personal feeling, which is, well, let me put it this way. I'm still going through grief a little bit.
Yep.
And I'm gonna for a while. And that's the thing about grief. And I was reading some stuff about it earlier, is, you gotta be patient with yourself, let things happen and continue working through the things you're supposed to work through.
Sure.
Do the things you're supposed to do. Understand that, you're going to have moments where you just feel all bummed out.
Yeah.
And just roll with it. It'll come back. You'll be fine. And time, the whole time heals all wounds kind of thing, even though I don't know.
No, I don't get it.
Back to your original question, which was, how do I feel about Ma being gone and with her husband and all that stuff? And I'm okay when people tell me, she's in a better place and,
right,
she's with your dad now and all that stuff, because I know exactly what they're saying.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I believe the words they're using specifically.
Yep.
What they're saying is, I love you and I'm with you.
Right.
To me. And so I will never disparage that by saying, oh, well, I don't believe that. It's none of my place. This is a person reaching out to give some, to make themselves feel better, because we never like to see the people we love in pain.
Sure.
So this is someone reaching out to try and alleviate some of our pain.
Right.
And then to turn around and slap them in the face or slap the hand away that's reaching out to help you.
Yeah.
That makes no sense to me. I've learned over the years that my personal beliefs have nothing to do with it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the ones of us who are still here taking care of each other.
Right, right, right.
Now, to how I specifically feel about Mom is, she's no longer in pain. She's no longer afraid, and she no longer has to ask questions. What are we doing tonight? When's dinner? How long have you been here? What's, all the things that I would go through a whole day with her, asking me the same questions over and over and seeing some of the nervousness in her eyes.
Yep.
It's all gone. This is no longer a concern. She's no longer worried. As to what happens in an afterlife, not my business.
But you gotta be curious though, right? This is what I'm curious, but this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
Because you know how I believe, and I know how you believe, but we're not gonna talk about it. I want you to be very observant about what happens in your life the next 2 months.
Okay.
I just want you to be observant to the point that, let me know if anything happens that's just out of the ordinary. And I'm guessing maybe it might not be anything. But we've had conversations about some of the things that have happened since my dad has passed.
Right.
And I'm a thousand percent believer that it was something that's not, I don't know, I don't know how to describe it. How do you say it? It's not an everyday occurrence. It happened for a reason outside of an everyday.
Yeah, it may not be supernatural, but it's not normal.
Exactly.
It's not normal. Yeah.
Good way to put it. So what I want you to do is be aware of maybe stuff that might not be, this might be out of the ordinary a little bit. So let me know if anything happens.
You're giving me an assignment.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
To be open-minded, to be aware of your surroundings, and to look for things out of place, or maybe things that went missing, or maybe, just be aware. See what happens.
All right.
I'm curious to see, what you said. It's interesting only because two things, and I'm going to say it really quick, and you're going to laugh. But we've talked about my father dying and some of the experiences I've had. And I've also talked about, we won't even get into that. But let's just, there's some things that.
I'm not going to laugh at you. I might laugh near you, but I'm not going to laugh at you.
Right. But, it makes you think. It's like, my father passed and this happened. Is it my father? Is he next to me? Is it something that's energy that still remains in this area? Or is it just something that I'm relating to his death that has no, just they're two separate things that I'm in my mind kind of creating together, together. So, but I'd be curious. I mean, between you and your family, the times you go to bed and, I've had weird things happen and maybe there's a way to explain them, but I'd be curious to see if anything happens to you. And be like, this has never happened before, but this happened the other night. Kind of weird. I'd be curious to know.
I've never been closed-minded. I'm always open to pay attention and watch things. But I also have...
I wouldn't call you closed-minded. I'd call you... You have to prove to me that something...
Yeah, that's called skeptical.
Yeah, exactly.
Being more skeptical, of a skeptic than
open-minded.
Well, right, but those two things are not mutually exclusive. Skepticism and open-mindedness are not mutually exclusive. You can be both, and I am. I'm open to the possibility, but there are some things that I'm fairly certain are no longer possibilities that require me to be open to.
Sure.
So I've already been convinced one way or another on a number of things. But that doesn't mean if new actual factual information comes up, I wouldn't change my mind. Yeah, I would if the factual
information is. I'd be curious.
Yeah.
So
I'll pay attention.
Just to let you know, and like I said, Bill and I have talked about this before, I've had some deaths in my family, and one of them was my Aunt Joanne that I was very close to, my favorite aunt, and one that I that was a big part of my life, let's put it that way. When she passed, the night before she passed, I was woken up in the middle of the night, which felt like somebody was on top of me, and I jumped out of bed, kind of screaming bloody murder, and the girl that I was living with also jumped out of bed thinking I got stabbed or something. It was that crazy, and I went to work the next day, and my mom called me about 9 o'clock in the morning and said, "Your aunt passed last night." So that was one thing. So it's not – it could have been two separate nightmare, and it could have been my aunt passing, two separate things, but I'm tying those both together. My father has passed, 5 years ago. Shortly after his passing, we had to clean out a garage to pour a new concrete floor, and I had everything out of the garage, but after the concrete was poured, I walked out of my mom's house, and there's this copper pipe that was bent around one of the support beams that it just couldn't have been there because I would have taken it off. In fact, I had to unbend it to take it off, and I would have saw it because I was in that area for hours and hours and hours taking off junk out of the attic in the garage. So I don't know where that came from.
Do you know how many hours it took me to bend that thing and put it in that place?
Exactly. But if you take a piece of copper pipe and try to bend it, you're going to crease it. It's got to be heated. So it was heated. It was bent in two different places around the support beam. That copper pipe still exists in my mom's garage. That's what protects my mom is what's in my head. I've also, and people have said this before, and this could be some kind of phenomenon or whatever, but after my father had passed, I would be sleeping at night or in the kind of midst of going to bed, and there was like a pressure on the corner of my bed where it feels like somebody's sitting down, and I could feel the difference between my foot and the mattress drop about 3-4 inches. And you get scared. You don't want to look up because you think somebody's there. But again, it could be It could be related to something else. I have no idea. And then I also told you about the time that I was out doing something, I don't remember what, and my neighbor down below me called me and said, Eric, there's a big boom inside your condominium. You should come back and take a look. There's something that must have fell or something like that. So when I got home, the picture off my mantle was flat on the ground, but everything on my mantle hadn't moved. So it was like the picture was picked up over above all that stuff and thrown down the ground. Weird, but that's the way it happened. I mean, there's no reason for me to lie about it. I don't mean to make up stories. And then also, again, we've talked about this, is that since I've been living here after my dad passed, there's been loud booms on the side of the building, which has woken up my neighbor Jan down below and myself, which sounds like somebody throwing a basketball extremely hard against the back of the building. But there's nothing. It's not a bird. It's not a whatever. We don't know what it is. We both have, after these big booms, have gone outside and looked. There's nothing. We don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe it's just energy from people past. I have no idea. But those are things that have happened.
Did your dad ever visit you at that house?
What's that?
Did your dad ever visit you at the condo you're at right now?
I don't know. I've never seen anything.
No. Did he, when he was alive, did he know where you live?
Right No. My dad was never part of my life in that way. No.
Okay.
But it's just weird things that have happened, and there could be an explanation for each and every one of them, but the way they happen,
right.
They're just a little bit further off than an everyday occurrence, Right. And I think that sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's just the way the people have passed. Maybe there's still energy in the area, and that's the way they let you know that they're still here. I have no idea, but that's why I'm curious. I'm like, after your mom's passed, she might come by and I don't know. Feel the cold air. Feel the things are out of place. The things have gone missing,
I'll tell you this, though, Eric. My mom's not the type to do that kind of thing.
You never know. You never know. I understand what you're saying, but you never know.
Yeah, she wouldn't. That's not in her nature.
You never know. She might come late at night and whatever. Tickle your feet.
If she did, she would come to warn me that Eric's coming over with the aliens to pick me up and take me on a trip around.
That's only if the mothership. If the mothership comes,
right, exactly.
You're the first one on my list. I guarantee it.
And that would be the only time my mom would come by to say, hey, Eric's on his way, hide under the bed or something.
So right. Take cover. But I know where to find you.
Yeah, your mother. I'm sorry, I can say that because she's still alive.
Yeah, still alive, and
we still love her.
Yes.
But no, so one of the things for me is obviously we're not doing a family gathering thing. We're not going to do a mass yet until after probably this coming summer.
Yeah,
we'll get the family together and have a family gathering and do some light to moderate alcohol consumption and tell stories about mom and dad. Because, when you talk about my mom, it was always mom and dad together.
Sure.
It was John and Mary. They were a team. And I'm going to tell stories at the family event that maybe everyone already knows and whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. But, well, let me ask you this. I'm going to cut you off. I know it's kind of your show, but I'm gonna ask you something. Don't you think that death is somewhat of a selfish thing? In other words, and I'm not going to get into religion, but I look at death that once we pass and leave this earth, that we go somewhere that's much better. Does everybody believe in that? I don't know. It doesn't matter. But I think when we lose somebody, we miss those people right away because they're not with us every day. We don't want to be with somebody that suffers either. So if they pass on, I know where you're headed. Yeah.
I know exactly where you're headed.
So I think that, in life, when we lose people, we should celebrate their existence. In other words, what they brought to us, what they taught us, what they,
exactly,
whatever. So there shouldn't really be any grieving as long as we know that they're in a better place, because it's a selfish thing that we go through that they're not here. I dread the day I lose my mom. It's a selfish thing because
for you as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's my family. I mean, it's pretty much that's it on my family. But
she's your last one, and then yeah, get stuck with you because
yeah, exactly. I was gonna say, as soon as she passed,
Tani, thanks for joining us.
I packed my bag and I'm leaving with the Bills.
So Ruthie's here, and Tani just joined us, and you know,
yeah. Why don't you reiterate what's going on?
Yeah, just real quick for the both of you, because you know we love having new people. We're just talking about the really sad stuff in life, and how do you get through it?
I mean,
you know. A couple days ago, I just lost my ma. We knew it was coming. It's still sad. And, you know, we know thousands and thousands and thousands of other people across the country have been losing people left and right. And, you know, I'm not the only one. So this is more about everybody else than it is about me. It's more about how do we cope? How do we move on together as a society and go, okay, we lost some good ones.
Right
now, how do we continue to move on? How do we fix the stuff that the good ones that we lost on accident or because of a stupid disease that we could probably fix?
Yeah,
or any, and it doesn't have to be the COVID. It could be any disease. You know, how come we don't have a cure for cancer yet?
Right.
You know, and I don't know the answer to that question. I'm just asking the stupid question. But so many people are dying from so many different things.
Yeah. I think there's just
it's an immense amount of us out there today. It's those of us who are left behind are the ones that feel agony because we miss the ones that we loved, right?
Sure.
But I see where you're headed with it's a selfish thing.
Well, let me ask you this. If you have a son or a daughter that's gonna go to college and it's right. A Ivy League college in general, whatever. You're happy for those people to leave your house and to move on and to go pursue their career and their education right. Or whatever, right? So you're sorry to see them leave. You're going to miss them, but you know they're going to a better place. That's kind of the way that I look at heaven. We're going to – it's going to crush me when my mom leaves, but I know that she's going to be in a better place. Hopefully her and my dad get along much better, and, you know, they can hang out with my relatives and play cards and – drink beer and smoke cigarettes and, you know, fall asleep in the toilet like a lot of them did. But it's the truth. Yeah. Well, my Aunt Judy. My Aunt Judy gets
and we love Aunt Judy for that. Because that's
yeah, she's still alive. She's one of the few that are still alive.
And it's still a great story. But,
go ahead. But,
you know, I guess I don't need to have the afterlife part of it to be able to celebrate the life that I knew.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And be able to tell my kids the stories about their grandma that at some point my kids are going to tell their kids. One or two stories will stick with them. And then my mom gets to live on a couple more generations with those stories.
Yep.
And that's all I hope for me.
Yes. Right.
I hope that I live on a couple, two, three generations and my kids tell stories about, you know, great grandpa Bill.
And they bury out in the backyard and throw stick in your gravesite.
Yeah,
this is where he lies.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Who really cares what happens when you're dead, right?
Well, but this is something that I don't know if I mentioned to you. But when my father passed away, like 2008, he had it written in his will already that he wanted his body donated to U of M medical study so that his, you know, what he's no longer using can be used for the next generation of students, medical students to learn.
Right.
And I thought that was great. Now, back then I was a lot younger and I, you know, had every funeral I've ever been to included the, you know, the wake and the viewing and, you know, all of the things that go along with helping those of us left behind to grieve and get through it. We didn't have any of that for my dad.
Mm.
And then about 3 months later, we had a memorial service. at the church for him.
Yeah.
It was nice because, you know, there was about 13 to 15 different priests that showed up, and that's a whole different story.
Okay.
But so, you know, the same, my mom had the same wish that she, you know, her body would be donated to U of M and the next generation of students can learn from whatever, you know,
good for her,
whatever they can get out of that. And I
sure.
think that's great. Because, you know, she's done with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's moved on. She's done with it. You know, it, and sometimes it's more for those of us left behind.
Cheers.
All of those.
Are you a donor? Are you a donor too?
I'm thinking I'm going to have to be.
You might
I
have
haven't
to
gotten
be.
To that conversation.
I'm a donor.
Yeah, I haven't got. Okay.
Well, Hobo's on. How you doing, Hobo? Thanks for joining us.
Well,
and thanks a lot for the gift.
Or are you just
the gift?
Oh, sorry.
I'm an organ donor, I guess. I don't know. I had that changed on my license or whatever. Yeah. So if whatever happens, you know, cut me up, slice me up, dice me up, whatever, send me out. Whatever you can get out of me, get out of me. If it saves somebody's life, that's great.
Right.
So the way I'm going right now, I probably wouldn't have any organ donations, but
well, your liver's going to be useless. Your kidney's going to be useless.
My lungs are going to be useless. Liver's going to be useless. Take a leg, take an arm, whatever.
You know, how many times do you hear about a pancreas transplant?
Right, right. My mom, oh, my God, my mom. So real quick, my mom, I'll tell you a short story. I'm on Facebook one night, and this friend of mine that I sold a house to was up north with some buddies of his. And I'm watching on Facebook, and his girlfriend, fiance, gets online and says, oh, my God, oh, my God, the house is flooding. I can't get the water to stop. Somebody please help me. So I felt, you know, it's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, here's my phone number. Call me. She calls me. And so I run over there, which is only like a mile away.
Right.
And she couldn't get the water to turn off on the toilet. But in turn, she panicked so bad. I think she was drinking too. She kind of beat the toilet to oblivion, and it was in pieces. And it was the new house they bought, or the house they bought, not new house, but it was an old house, had brand new final flooring. It was an inch of water throughout the whole place.
Ugh.
And so I got in and I turned the water off. As soon as I turned the water off, my phone rings. I look over, it's my mom. She's like, oh, Eric. She's like, I got to go to the hospital. I'm like, what's going on, man? She's like, I don't know. I get these sharp pains. So I run over to my mom's, pick her up, drive her to Providence, and come to find out she's got pancreatitis.
Oh.
And pancreatitis is from eating too much crappy foods. My mom is like she loves her pasties, her burgers, her lasagna, her pizza, and all that.
Right.
What the hell was I even talking about?
Those aren't good. Those aren't good for you.
No, but I was going to make a point, and I kind of forgot what I was talking about. I'm drawing a blank here. Jesus. I see what happens. I get in these deep conversations, and I forget what I was talking about. Yeah, but anyways, I don't know.
You said pancreatitis.
Did you say pancreatitis?
I did. No,
you
can't – you're not going to be able to donate your – you know, how many pancreas donations do you hear about?
Right. Well, that's my mom's pancreatitis story. And you know what? It's like – and she's kind of back on her bad eating habits. And I'm like, listen, I go, you get stomach pains again, you just call the ambulance because I'm not going to come pick you up. I'm playing hardball with her. I said, drive yourself. I don't care. But I told you. Well, the doctor said, listen, her name, I don't like to say her name, but the doctor said, what you got to do?
Hey, lady.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, lady, you got to eat a big salad with every bit of protein you eat. So if you eat a piece of protein the size of your hand, eat a big salad with it. And that the salad is the soap that helps the protein digest through your pancreas. If you're only eating high amounts of protein, it taxes your pancreas and you get pancreatitis. And that's what happens with my mom. She gets stuck on these. She's like, oh, you know, I went and got Jet's pizza today, and you know, and then I had a pasty. My mom will eat a pasty for like breakfast. She doesn't like eggs or nothing like that. So she'll eat like a pasty, or if she's got a burger left over or whatever. Yeah, I'm like, Mom, you mean, listen, you got to get on the ball here, you know.
Just, you know, here, some juice and a piece of toast and
exactly.
Let it go.
Exactly.
Just,
exactly.
You know, let the body do something for the morning.
You know what? And this is the other thing. She's 81 years old, so I can only bust her ass so bad, right? I can't change the way she eats. But right. I'm like, listen, I got to take care of you. So if you come down with this flare-up again, I got to drive you back to the damn hospital. Who knows? I might be loaded. I might be with a chick. Who knows, you know? I don't know.
You'll be loaded. I don't know about the other one.
You're right. So I just told her, I said, you know, just try to take care of yourself a little bit, you know?
So is that – so now that you're done with your story –
yeah, go ahead.
Ray, it's back Ray to you. Beeksus?
Who? How do I see that? Oh, I can't say it. Yeah.
Ray. Beeksus? Beeksable?
Beeksai? Beeksai. Beeksai.
Oh, those Beeksai? Are nice. I don't have my glasses
Beeksai.
On.
Either do I.
Beeksai.
It's all blurry.
Oh, great. This is what happened. Too good. Too old.
No, it's
two. Ray, try and tell
what's
us.
What's up, Ray?
Tell us what you got.
Thanks, yeah, give us
thanks
a.
Thanks for showing up anyway.
Yeah, thanks for listening to us.
We're gonna hack anybody's name. That's just we're just old and stupid. What do we know?
No one compares to you.
Like I said. No, I was gonna go back to our disclaimer.
Yeah, which
our lawyers. Oh, geez.
Nothing rehearsed. Nothing.
Yeah, that
researched.
But, those guys, but what was. Where's my notes?
Changes.
On our lawyers who told us.
I hope we get some good reviews on this one because.
I like this one.
I hurry up and put that together and I was like, you know, what do I remember about like, you know, songs of goodbyes and death and all that kind of stuff. And I could have, and I, The Last Goodbye by Jeff Buckley. I could play that right now and I'll fucking cry. It is the best. Grace, Jeff Buckley, Grace is one of the best albums ever made. I'm not saying it's one of the best. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm not saying it's in the top 20, but it is a phenomenal album, Grace by Jeff Buckley. And he passed away right after he finished producing that. He drowned in the Mississippi River.
Oh, that's not fun.
Yeah, that's Leonard Cohen's son.
I was going to say is basically our lawyers. Walker, Jameson, and Beam have told us to not really say anything that is considered advice.
Oh, exactly.
Anything that can be considered factual because we are none of those things. We're two guys that just love having fun talking with each other. And quite frankly, you know, if somebody wants to call in and help us out with this topic and think we're
going
to
review that or
you got a good story about, you know, how you coped with a loss. You know,
yeah,
these are all good things to talk about. You know, it's actually kind of weird because, I'm not even going to go there. I haven't talked a whole lot like crazy with the family about all this. We talked a little bit before it happened.
Yeah,
that it was coming, and then everybody's asking, you know, how you feeling? How's it going? And like, I'm actually okay.
Yeah,
but I think tonight I've actually gone into more detail than I have with my family, which I feel terrible about. But it's got to come out somewhere, and then this may loosen me up to talk with my family about it tomorrow.
I think you need to celebrate, Bill. I really do. I think you got to take your brothers, your family members, and celebrate your mom's life because I think that's what makes us cope.
Well,
do that, you don't cope. You can't. I mean, she's gone, right? She's gone. She's gone. You can't bring her back. So if you can't bring her back, then celebrate what you had, you know?
Right.
It's like selling that Ferrari, you know? Yeah, you know, that Ferrari cost me a lot of money, a lot of fun with it, but I had to sell it. But, you know, celebrate the sale. Yeah, get rid of that damn thing. I don't know if that makes any sense or not.
Yeah, the analogy doesn't really fly. I appreciate the effort, brother.
Yeah, I was trying to put some humor into that. But I
really do. I got the humor. I laughed on the inside. It just wasn't enough there to make it actually come out.
Yeah, I was grasping. Sorry.
Yeah. No, and you know, like I've said a thousand times, our lawyers, Walker, Jameson, and Bean, instructed us that when we tell jokes, that sometimes we have to clarify that these are actually jokes.
Right.
Otherwise, we're going to offend somebody, and people might actually think that we're factual and or smart. And
exactly.
Can't have that. And that is essentially the ramblings of our lawyers at Walker, Jameson, and Beam.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. And have I disclaimed us enough?
No, I think you did. I think you did. All right. I think we're pretty much good to go. I'm glad we had this podcast tonight. I think it could be therapeutic a little bit. And, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of podcasts out there that deal with death. I tried to lighten it up a little bit with our little quote unquote about subject podcast tonight.
Well, I love the fact that you brought the musical lyrical songs into it.
Yeah.
You know, essentially we've always been, you know, we love talking about music and stuff like that, but sometimes our other topics get in the way. But that was just a really nice tribute, and I really do appreciate that. I know it took you more than 12 minutes to sit and write that.
It took me about 20 minutes to 30 minutes. I had to research a few. Yeah. I wanted to be a little bit, kind of, I didn't want to be very specific.
You covered a lot of genres too.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to be like, take whatever out of this that you think it might be about, mm-hmm. and hopefully listen to us. And, you know, a couple are kind of like out there a little bit. When I said we can never prepare for the last goodbye, I think I kind of shed a tear when I put that in there.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the other ones are pretty much kind of fitting. It kind of leaves you kind of a little bit to wonder about, okay, what's this podcast about?
Right.
So that's all I wanted.
Lord knows after people have listened to this for 45 minutes, they're going to go, what is this podcast about?
Bill's mother passed. Jesus. No, but, you know, going back to people passing on and moving on to wherever they go, you know, I think we do need to celebrate. I think we need to, there's a lot of us that do a lot of good, like yourself, raising kids and raising families. And, you know, let's say if you were to pass, unfortunately, or if I were to pass, I mean, I don't have anybody to celebrate me. But if you were to pass, unfortunately, you know, we'd want to celebrate your life. You know, I'd come with whatever case of beer, some Guinness, whatever, some Jameson's, and, you know, kick back in the backyard and, you know, and throw some stories down. But I think it's the way it should be, you know. And you're not here. We're all going to miss that.
I'm not going to be there to defend myself. And Lord knows, you're going to actually be able to get a word in edgewise.
Exactly. But I can certainly tell a bunch of lies and stories about you.
Hell, you know? Make anything else up that you want. It's fine.
But what's funny is
now that we're documented, we're on the internet. That means, you know, my great grandkids can listen to their great grandpa Jackasselope ramble on about stuff and things and whatever. And, you know, spit out disclaimers about whiskeys that don't exist anymore.
Let me ask you this. You ever have friends you invite over, they stop by and they just kind of pass out and fall asleep on your couch?
Yeah.
Fuckballs in here. She's here for an hour.
She was there. Yeah.
No, she's fucking snoring lungs over there.
Yeah. Well, I heard her in the background earlier.
I knew
she was there. I didn't want to say nothing because I didn't want to interrupt her nap.
Yeah. No, I know. She's
going to get that thing lit or what?
Who? What? Yeah, no, I always, you know, when she comes over, we always talk for like 10 minutes, and then I go on the podcast, and then next thing you know, she's sleeping.
Are you trying to
laugh? Oh, no, I'm just kind of flicking on this like little piece of rubbery thing.
Oh, okay.
It's ADHD thing.
So I figured out what the problem was with the last podcast, why it was all that scratchiness.
It was the
fact that I was outside and I was wearing a jacket that had a zipper on it.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
The microphone was rolling up and down. I thought it was because I was scratching my face, but when I listened to it for about 10 minutes, I'm like, oh,
yeah, I was like,
this is horrible. I feel bad for anyone who listened to it.
That's right.
We got a lot of downloads on that one because, you know, you were yelling at me.
No, we did, but, you know, our disclaimer says it's unrehearsed, it's unprepared, it's unresearched, it's on whatever. It is what it is, right?
Oh, unprofessional, I guess.
Unprofessional.
Best way to put it.
Yeah, just a couple guys talking, whatever you guys want to talk about. If you guys want to call in and talk about something else, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
What else could,
I mean,
what else
I got a little bit more time here. Oh, Rex.
Hobo's called in before. Love you, Hobo. Thanks for the gift again. He's helped me out with something else. But
good.
Thanks again, Hobo. And we had Ruthie and Ray.
Beeksy.
Beeksy.
I'm going to call it Beeksy.
Beeksy. Another milestone. We have passed 1,000 downloads.
No. When did that happen?
A couple days ago.
A couple minutes ago?
No, a couple days ago.
Oh, well, that's why you didn't tell me, is because, you know.
The last couple days
I've been a little bit busy.
Yeah, with everything that's going on, I didn't want to, like, see I was insensitive. But
No.
But so we're past 1,000, so I think we've learned a few of our, I don't know, lessons, and maybe we can whatever.
We hopefully figured out how to be even more stupid.
Yeah. Nothing to report on the Lions or any kind of current
events. Here's to 1,000. Hold on. Here's to 1,000.
Let it rip. Let it rip, Kitty Chip.
Well, you know, if you can be quiet just for a minute.
I am. Got a thumbs up from Hobo.
Yeah. You didn't hear it, did you?
Nope. Well, I heard the cork come out of the bottle.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I was trying to do, and you kept talking.
Sorry. No, I've heard that before.
Yeah. Well, I know you've heard it before, but I am a celebratory 1,000 download.
Hobo, that is my that's my clear beer in my Yeti that fuckballs just took away from me.
No, I was gonna make you
another one. Oh, thank you. Such a nice friend. She also made a cauliflower based pizza.
Ew, why?
And I'm watching a bunch of nudity on television. She put on Eyes Wide Shut. And that's all I see is boobs.
Why? Okay, so last night we watched, my daughter and I watched the greatest Christmas movie ever.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
No, that's maybe in the top 10. But the best Christmas movie ever.
Yeah.
Die Hard.
Oh, God. I told you, you guys ever watched that movie I recommended to you guys? It's a Hidden Life.
I saw it, and I think I've added it as a favorite on one of my things.
That is, okay, anybody that is, I'm not a movie buff. I only watch movies if they are the best of the best. I think there's too many movies being made today that are just for money. Heartless sucked ass. Fuckballs made me watch that. But my mom and I went and watched A Hidden Life. Christmas Eve 2 years ago, I think it was. I won't tell you what it's about, but it's a long movie. But if you're looking to kick back with maybe a bottle of a fine scotch, a fine whiskey.
No, for that one, with as long as it is, you need like a nice white or maybe true. Or low.
Yeah. And you might want to sip along and maybe have something to eat. It's a long movie, but it's a little bit of it can be a little bit of a tearjerker, a little bit. But it is a phenomenal movie. And I'm only saying that because I am not a movie buff. There's movies that I like. And I'll put it this way. There's 10 movies I like. There's 1,000 I hate. But so if I'm encouraging you to watch this, that means I really liked it. And I'm a good judge of movies and character.
As far as you're concerned, you're a good judge of movies and character.
I am definitely a good judge of character.
Speaking of movies, the idea came up. We were talking not too long ago. I can't remember what. Oh, because Tangled.
Sukala. The cheers in my local language. Sukala. Yeah,
thanks, Hobo. I saw that too. That was pretty cool. Sukala.
I like your new GIF, Hobo. That's kind of cool. He put a new GIF up on his.
Yeah, I see the beer flying across. It's nice.
Yeah.
No, we were talking about favorite movies and stuff, and I threw out a couple. And then after we were done talking about it, like 2 days later, I'm like, oh, my God, we didn't even talk about August Rush.
What is August Rush?
Robin Williams is in that movie.
I love Robin Williams.
Robin Williams plays an asshole in that movie.
God rest his soul.
And he does it so well. He's so believable. But
August Rush? I never heard of it.
I'm just going to tell you. It's a musician's movie.
Okay.
In so much as anybody who loves music and the art of music, look at this. You'll either hate it a lot or you'll just love it like crazy because the kid grows up on the street.
Yeah.
Because his parents gave him up, and shortly after he was adopted, something happened and he
grew up. A wedlock kind of thing?
Huh?
Was it wedlock out of wedlock or just?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Not a wedlock for sure. But the kid grows up on the street, and he plays guitar on the street.
Okay.
He has a unique way of playing the guitar, and he makes a lot of money for the King of the Bums, which is Robin Williams. It's collecting money for the kid.
What's up, Robin? Go ahead.
And then, long story short, the kid catches a break, and a number of things really serendipitous happen. And then at the end of the movie, there's not – you'll need a box and a half of Kleenex if you have a heart problem. Right.
It's called August Rush.
August Rush.
Can you get it on Netflix?
I look for it on Netflix, and you can't.
Yeah, it's sort
of – because like, I wanted to watch it with my kids.
Yeah.
If it's $3.99 or $8.99 on whatever –
Prime? Yeah, Amazon?
If it is, it's worth every penny of it. But
all right, I'll watch it. I'll watch
you,
it.
You specifically – will need a box of Kleenex.
Okay.
And if you have not used up that entire box of Kleenex by the end of the movie, you don't have a heart.
All right.
And I just, and I would, this is a movie that I would, this isn't a recommendation. This is an assignment. Because it's you. You're going to love this movie.
Okay. And I'll watch it this weekend. I'll report back for Sunday.
We'll talk Sunday.
You need me and fuck all to watch it.
Yeah,
she's been busy lately.
With the whole idea of that's different. With the whole idea of going out and partying and just relaxing and letting it go.
Yeah.
I'm going over to my little brother's house tomorrow.
Yeah. It's new little brother.
New little brother.
Yeah.
Over his house tomorrow, and we're just gonna shoot the shit. And sit back and drink some beers and
good for you.
And
you need it,
you know. Yeah, and it's. I think I'm looking forward to it because he met my mother once.
At yeah,
my 51st birthday party.
Yeah,
and he like in passing.
You're 50th. You're supposed to go to the that I had tickets for, but
yeah, we won't get into that. Not part of the story I'm telling right now. So. You know, by the time he met her, she was already, you know, three sheets into the seven sheets of losing her mind.
Yeah.
The dementia thing. So, you know, but I guess I'm looking forward to it because he has no preconceived notions about her.
Right.
Doesn't
know
her from really at all.
Yeah.
I can, as things just pop into my head, I can throw them out and tell him the stories and he's going to, okay. And then I get this genuine response from somebody who has no idea.
Right.
I'm kind of looking forward to that.
A third party response.
Yeah. A disinterested third party, which is, you know, how I live my life when I'm working. I deal with disinterested third parties to verify this, that, and the other. And that's just, I live in a world of facts, blah, 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 blah. But this would be interesting because, like I said, he's got no preconceived notions. And it's just as it comes. And I'm like, all right, well, this should be good. Because I know, you know, I've had conversations already with a number of my cousins.
Yeah.
And you know, they've been tearful and fun and good.
Yeah, I bet.
But, you know, I don't know. And again, I don't want to make this all about me because really the whole point of me bringing up this whole thing was.
Well, after 54 minutes, it's we're beyond that.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm kidding. I'm just poking at you.
And I know you are. But the whole thing was to start off was I'm not the only one going through this kind of thing.
Sure.
Everybody, there's so many people who are going through this. This
grief. Can I tell you a short story? Let me tell you a short story. So I call my buddy Bruce, right? My buddy Bruce is a loan officer. And
I know Bruce. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. And so I was just calling to see if he'd closed on a deal that I gave him. And he's like, yeah, I closed on blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, did you hear that Jimmy's in at Beaumont and he's got COVID and pneumonia? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, shit. And Jimmy's done some really nice things for me. So what did I do? I said I got up the next morning early in the morning. Or, you know, I called Leo's, the local Leo's near the hospital where he was at. And I said, listen, I said, I want to send over some Coney dogs, some hot dogs, and some fries to all the doctors and nurses that are working on my buddy over there that are, he's a really cool buddy. He's taking care of me. I've taken care of him. I've golfed him for a long time. He's a super cool guy. He's an old gentleman. And I said, I want to send over 15 conies, 15 regulars and some six, give me six fries or whatever. So give me a deal on the price or whatever. I said, on the bag, you got to promise me. I said, get a Sharpie marker and write thanks to all my doctors and nurses for taking care of me. Jimmy 311, that was his room number. Right. And they sent over all these hot dogs and conies and stuff. And they were all coming back to Jimmy going, thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Jimmy. You know, you're not going to believe how much that meant to us, you know, just to have right. a coney in the middle of the day. Blah, blah, blah. So right. the ironic thing is that I send Jimmy a message. And I'm like, this is like an hour and a half later because I right. want to give it time for those guys to deliver this stuff. I said, hey, is this Jimmy Coney Island, you know? And he's like, did you send over those Coney Islands? And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, get a load of this. He goes, I was just telling my wife on the phone, you wouldn't know what I would do right now for a Coney Island. This hospital food sucks.
Right.
And that was at noon that day. And at 5 o'clock, he had
Coney's.
Yeah, there was Coney's sitting on his bed. And I'm like, how ironic. How ironic is that? That's, I thought
well, that was and that's cool. the thing is, you know, it doesn't take much to do that kind of thing. It takes a phone call and a couple of bucks, right?
Yeah, yeah. Cost me like $30 for them to go and drive it over. 15 conies, 15 regulars, and some bunch of fries. And the guy okay. was like, since you're doing it for the doctors and nurses, we'll take care of you.
Yeah, so. And just, but they're not going to do that without something.
Right,
and
right.
They're not
right.
going to do that because, you know, it just – but if you go ahead and say, I want you to do this and here's some money.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, oh, hell yeah. We're all yeah. over that.
Right, you know, right.
The Coney people, they're busy taking care of the people they can take care of right now.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to do it for free because, dear God knows that, you know, the restaurants need the money.
Yeah, yeah. And everything you know, costs money, right?
Everything costs money. But if they give it to you for cost – and they're like, dude, hell yeah, we're doing this because this is the yeah. right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. And, you know, we need more people to do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to spread a little happy. Because yeah. Lord knows 2020 has sucked ass in 17 yeah. ways to Sunday. But, you know, and again, I go back to all the people who lost people this year.
Yeah.
It just has to suck ass. And
I'll tell you what, man, I know a lot of people who got COVID, man. God, I mean, God, I hope things work out their way, but right. it's like 6 months ago, I didn't know anybody. Now right. I know like everybody's getting it. It's like, oh, so-and-so's right. got it. So-and-so's got it.
And it's it doesn't like, oh, have to be a death sentence.
No, it's, hopefully it's not.
Well, right. But it's not a death sentence if you're not one of 60,000 people in that same hospital that day with right. the same damn thing.
You know, sure.
That's why we should wear our masks and why we need to wash our hands all the time and why we need to stay out of groups of more than 10 and do all the things we're supposed to do for another couple months, 3-4 yeah. months. You know, even if it takes us till March, let's, you know, just 6 months.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Suck it up.
Yeah. The way we should have been doing since last March.
Right. Right. You know, no, 100%. Everybody, Chris has a vision for what she's doing, but you know what? I mean, you gotta, if people would just listen, wear a mask, stay home, and send one person out the shop, and that's it, and you right. know, do what you gotta do, the shit wouldn't be spreading the way it is, but
right.
you got a bunch of
well, I mean, the other day, what was it? I think it was either Tuesday night. Tuesday night, I was coming home from work, and I had to stop and get a couple things yeah. from the store, and as I'm pulling into the store, no, it was it was the Saturday. I was coming home from hanging out with mom, and I was tired. And I yeah. no, it doesn't matter. It was this weekend, the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Right, okay? Right, right.
So everybody's out buying stuff.
Yeah.
And I wasn't thinking. I'm just like, I got to run out. I got to do this and get gas for the car and a couple of things at the store, and then. I'm good, and I'm going to go back. And it was like
gas in the new car.
Yeah, it was like 10:30 in the morning, 11:30 in the morning, something like that. And I get to the Meijer by my house, and I see the parking lot's full. There's people running around back and forth. Just about everybody's wearing a mask because you can't go into the store without a mask.
Right.
So they're being responsible. But I'm driving through the parking lot, going, I am not going into this germ fest.
Yeah.
Whatever it is I need, I don't need it that bad. So
no.
I kept driving. I didn't, I didn't park at all. I didn't stop the car, didn't roll down the windows or nothing. I just kept on driving, went to the gas station, got my gas, and I went inside and I got a coffee. I says, I'm just going to deal with this for today.
I washed my hands when I get in the house. Wash my hands. I clean my steering wheel, my gear shifter. Go somewhere, I spray thing around.
Yeah. Well, I sterilize my hands before I grab the handle to pump gas. And then I get in the car and I do it again before I open the door and the thing's sitting on the handle. So I squirt it on my hands and then, rub real vigorously. And then I get in the car. Okay. Yeah. I'm cold standing in there doing that, but whatever. I would rather be cold for a minute than dead or sick in bed for 3 weeks.
I know. Fuck balls. Her brother that works in a hospital along with his fiance that also works in a hospital. He's got it the second time. He's under the weather.
Really?
He's got to ride it out. Yeah, two times in like 6 months, but he's right there in the front lines. I mean, he's right there, it's like, It's tough, Got to say prayers for those people. The condominium complex I work in, there was a lady that was a frontliner, and, I look at, her car coming and going. She's there for, 12, 14 hours a day at least. She leaves early in the morning, doesn't come back late at night. She's a frontliner. Right. Deal with all these people. And it's not fair to deal with these people if they're not wearing masks. I mean, if you wear a mask and you get it, that's one thing. But if you say, well, it's socialism or it's against my will or something's being forced on me, you're crazy.
You're just an idiot. So speaking of me being an idiot, I forgot to say, hey, Evan, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah.
We already talked to Tani, right? We said, hey, Tani, thanks for being there. Rome just showed up. Thanks for hanging out. But no, you're exactly right. It's the whole thing about the mask is it's like, really, are you, this, it's not a rights issue.
Yeah.
It's not an issue of rights. It's an issue of responsibility.
Yeah. Like just, I don't know.
Yeah. It's crazy. And, whatever. And mind you, I was at one point in my life clueless and dogmatic.
Don't say anti-mask.
No. I was clueless and dogmatic. And that's what it takes to be anti-mask, anti-vax, these things that all make sense.
Yeah.
If you're dogmatic and clueless, you buy into these things. And it takes time and understanding to grow out of it. And I don't want to smack anybody upside the head because they're not with it. But what I want people to do is to come join us sooner. Come be part of the, I'm not going to say the woke people, whatever, but be part of the group that, we love stuff. We shouldn't finish with this song. I would like to finish with a different song.
What do you want to finish with? Uranium Clock?
Reciprocity? So. Do you have the other one?
Leave the Leaving.
Not Leave the Leaving. What's? I do love this one though. Let it play a little bit. You can go.
The only reason why I'm saying this is that I need to go see a man about a horse.
Yeah, and it's about the right time to end because we want to keep our podcasts listenable.
We're going to be on Monday, and we'll pick up where we left off.
You've been hanging out with Low Standards, of course. We're going to run with Bill for another 38 seconds here. That's been Eric.
And that's been Bill.
And we're gonna
glad to have you aboard.
We're going to be on Sunday night at around 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll have some more conversations about this, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, Hobo. Peace out, brother.
Peace out. Talk to you soon. Thanks for the gift.
Yeah, we're going to continue some of this discussion.
Thanks, Ruthie.
We're going to come up with some other stuff.
We'll talk to you soon. Look for us on Sunday.
Yeah, thanks, Rome.
I can't see it.
Thanks, Evan.
Jameson, we're just getting ready to close it up. So look for us on Sunday. We'll talk to you. Dial in.
Also, just to make sure, our legal team of Walker, Jameson, and Bean have informed us to remind you we are not professionals.
No.
This is unscripted fun. I hope you've had fun.
Yeah, I'm about ready to pee my pants, so I gotta go.
All right, go ahead, hang up. I know when it's time to stop.
I'll talk to you by Sunday. If you need anything, let me know. I'm always there. I got time. So
somebody tells me to stop talking. I don't want to stop talking. I just stop talking. I just keep on not talking.
All right. Well, whatever. Are you still there?
What's the part where you're supposed to hang up on me? Got to get into practice now.
Should I hang up now?
No, no, not now.
No?
Now? No, no, not now. Next now.
I'll wait.
When is it? Now, now?
Wait, song's over with?
What about last now? Just next time. All right.
Now. I'll talk to you by Sunday.
Good night.
Adios, amigos. All right. See you. All right.